the theme for today's discussion is the two anointed ones. And here we have a depiction of the theme of Zechariah chapter 4. You notice the olive branches, and there are two tubes going from the olive branches into a bowl, which is then distributed to each lamp of the menorah. For our upcoming Feast of Tabernacles 2011, we have chosen the theme, the two anointed ones, from Zechariah 4, verse 14. So it seems fitting that we should study this before the feast, and I'm expecting that this study will take a few sermons to unfold. Even then, such a study will be practically inadequate, because many scholars disagree with each other about what this vision actually reveals. Nevertheless, let us proceed to see what can be understood. But before we begin, I must say that in my study, I've come to see things of which I could find no evidence from other writers. This could mean I haven't searched other writers' commentaries completely, or I am completely off my rocker, or everyone else is. You decide for yourself. Let's begin by reading chapter 4 of Zechariah, for right now, just verse 1. Zechariah 4, verse 1. Now the angel who talked with me, this is Zechariah speaking, came back and wakened me as a man who was wakened out of his sleep. So this was a startling gesture. Whether he was asleep or not, I'm not sure, but he says, like as a man, or as a man who was wakened out of his sleep. The angel of Yahweh came back after having shared the following in Zechariah 3, verse 8. Hear, O Joshua, and that's pronounced Yahshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. Now, the phrase the branch, or the word the branch, is a euphemism that is a vague or hidden term for the Messiah, Yahshua, which becomes more clear, even more clear, in Zechariah 6, beginning at verse 11. Let's go to another chapter, 6 verse 11, which reads, take the silver and gold, make an elaborate crown, and set it on the head of Joshua, which means the salvation of Yah. The son of Jehozadak, which if I were to pronounce it the way I would pronounce it, would be Yah Sadak, in other words, Yah the righteous, or the righteous Yahweh, the high priest. Then speak to him, saying, thus says Yahweh of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch. The man whose name is the branch. So whose name is the angel speaking of? Joshua. He is speaking of Yahshua. He's speaking of Yahshua HaMashiach, who is the branch. From his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of Yahweh. He alone will build the temple of Yahweh. Yes, he shall build the temple of Yahweh. And here we have this phrase repeated for enhanced meaning. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. In this manner, he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Both who? Both he who rules as king and he who rules or who teaches and preaches in righteousness as a priest. So we have the government and the assembly, essentially, headed by Yahshua, together. And note that he also said, he shall build the temple of Yahweh. And I ask, are we who believe and follow Yahshua not the temple being spoken of here? We find in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, coming to him, and that's Yahshua, as to a living stone. Yahshua's being referred to as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by Yahweh and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a temple, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yahshua Messiah. Spiritual sacrifices. Now note that Zechariah 6:13 speaks of Yahshua being a priest and ruling on his throne. He therefore is presented as the righteous king who will rule with a rod of iron. I wonder, by what law will he govern? He will grant power to rule as he rules to those who obey his commandments, and he will destroy those nations who reject him as king. As we read in Revelation 2:26, which says, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. So I must ask you now, are we as a nation in trouble? That almost doesn't even bear the time to ask. Of course we are in trouble. We are a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. Is our Declaration of Independence not a declaration of separation from Yahweh? Should we not be a nation of Yahweh, by Yahweh, and for Yahweh? You decide. And know this, that in your decision, you will either be lifting up this people to Yahweh or down to condemnation. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 and following, we read, this is Yahweh speaking, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts, or things that look like locusts, to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name, who are called by my authority, will humble themselves, in other words, recognize the humility that, or even the humiliation of being who we are in the flesh. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, ways that are not of Yahweh, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. He is speaking literally of Jerusalem. But as we understand the scripture, there are many different ways to look at scripture, and one of those ways is to recognize that things happen over and over and over again. It's been said that the first four chapters of Genesis outlines the entire Bible, and if we understand who the characters are and what takes place in those four chapters, you will understand all of the rest of Scripture. And I say, may Yahweh's word reign in our hearts and in our minds, that His will be done. Okay, back to Zechariah 4, repeating the first verse. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I am looking, and there is a menorah of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand seven lamps and seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left. And so I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these things, my master? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my master. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of Yahweh to Zerubbabel. Now, the name Zerubbabel is very telling if we understand Hebrew. The first part of his name is Zarab, comes from the word Zarab, which means to flow. And Babel, if you can understand, is Babylon. So his name actually means to flow from Babylon. And if you recall, he was sent by Cyrus, king of Persia, king of Babylon, to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And we read on, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says Yahweh of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace. Grace to it. Grace to Jerusalem. Verse 8. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands also shall finish it. Then you will know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. The plumb line is one who basically does the measuring and the setting in place of a foundation. They are the eyes of Yahweh, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then Zechariah answers and said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the menorah and at its left? And I further answered and said to him, notice he didn't get an answer there. And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? Then he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my master. And here we are at the verse that we have chosen as the theme for this coming tabernacles. Zechariah 4:14. So he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the sovereign of the whole earth. Now, after reading this, the immediate question we want to answer or find an answer is found in Zechariah 4:14, the last verse of this chapter. But note that just before this, in verses 11 and 12, Zechariah asks, what are these two olive trees? Then he asks a second question before receiving an answer to the first. What are these two olive branches? The answer is given to him is, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the sovereign of the whole earth. Therefore, we must ask ourselves, does the phrase the two anointed ones refer to the two olive trees or to the two olive branches? It seems Zechariah asked two questions and got one answer. Examining the Hebrew text, we discover that the word trees in the phrase two olive trees is not there. It's missing. And the word olive is plural. So it should read the two olives. It seems plausible to me that the English word trees was added to clarify a Hebrew idiom. So just to be clear, the word is there or intended to be there. So why did Zechariah ask two questions and get one answer? I don't know. But it seems that after he asked the first question, he noticed that there were two branches that distribute the oil into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains to the seven lamps of the menorah. Now, depending on what meaning we attach to each part of this prophecy, we will have an answer to who these two are. And here is where we have much to explore. For example, the Darby Bible and the Young's Literal Translation version interpret the phrase, the two anointed ones, as the two sons of oil. Beni ha Yitzhar. Beni, Ben is son, put an I on the end, it's a hand, my son. Ha, the word the. Yitzhar is the word for anointed. My son, the anointed. Now, who does this seem to be? Who is he talking about? Who is Zechariah speaking about if we simply look at the literal meaning of these words? My son, the anointed? Well, of course, it sounds like Zechariah is talking about Yahshua, the Messiah. But note, though, that the word anointed is not the word Mashiach, but Yitzhar. So he may not be referring to the Messiah. And why two sons? Is Yahshua two people? Let's look at the meanings of these words in more detail. The English word two is the Hebrew word shenayim, a dual of another word, shetayim, meaning two. It is also used, the word shetayim is also used as an ordinal number, as opposed to a cardinal number. Cardinal numbers are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and as a list might have. But an ordinal number describes a place in a particular lineup, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, etc. That is, it can be translated, the word two could be translated as twofold. In the King James Version, it is translated variously, the word shenayim, as both, couple, double, second, twelfth, and twelve. I know, it's a little confusing. But the number 12 is expressed in Hebrew by the words Esra Shatim, literally 10-2. The Hebrew word for anointed in this text is Yitzhar, which means anointed, and comes from a root word meaning oil, as producing light. Okay? So we could translate this phrase, the two sons of oil, as the twofold sun producing light. Who is the light of the world? How many times will he appear to the world? He first came as a suffering servant. Then he will come as a conquering king. Does this fit the meaning of a twofold Messiah? Now the word ones, the anointed ones, is the Hebrew word beni, as we talked about earlier, my son. But it means my son as a builder of the family name. Now, whose name did Yahshua come to this world? Came in the name of his father. It means my son as a builder of the family name in the widest sense of both a literal and a figurative relationship, which also includes son to father, grandson to grandfather, subject to king, or a nation to Yahweh. We are called the sons or the children of Yahweh. And that's Ben Yahweh. In the King James Version, Beni is translated my afflicted, anointed, appointed branch, firstborn, very fruitful, lamb, mighty, servant-born, son, steward, valiant, and worthy. It has a whole bunch of different meanings. All of them seem to point to one person, Yahshua the Messiah. So these are my two anointed ones could mean this is my twofold anointed son. In John 12, verse 20 and following, we read, now there were certain Greeks, which is a term often used to describe the Hellenized house of Israel, among those who came up to worship at the feast. Well, who would be coming up to worship at the feast if they didn't have some knowledge, at least, of Yahweh and a need to be there, except those who somehow in their memories recall the feast of Yahweh? Verse 21. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Yahshua. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Yahshua. Verse 23. But Yahshua answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life, this life, will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. In other words, let him do what I do. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Yahshua answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? They understood that being lifted up means to be executed in the Roman style. Who is this Son of Man? They asked. Then Yahshua said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may also become sons of light, or sons of oil, producing light. These things Yahshua spoke and departed and was hidden from them. So, who are these olive trees that provide oil to the menorah? I submit for your consideration that they are the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and that just as Yahshua provides his light to grow his olive trees, that we are to provide the oil that will glorify his light to the nations. We are to be a light to the nations. There is much more to explore, but we will pause here to rest and ponder the word of Yahweh. Hallelujah.